It's time for everyone's favorite podcast on the web. Pivot off the wall. Where you get the best sports talk and info in New York.
You lollygag the ball around the infield. You lollygag your way down to first. You lollygag in and out of the dugout. You know what that makes you. Larry.
Lollygag.
Lollygaggers. What's our record, Larry?
8-16.
8-16. How'd we ever win 8?
It's a miracle.
This is a simple game. You throw the ball. You hit the ball. You catch the ball. You got it!
It's an all-new Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. And here's your host, Chris Sheeran.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Off the Wall podcast once again here on YesNetwork.com. I am Chris Sheeran. We'll hear from Joe Auriemma in just a bit, but we're going to hear from someone in the ALCS on the Texas Rangers. He used to be a New York Met earlier this season, Jeff Francoeur. Jeff, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Anytime.
First, let me start with, you know, being with the Mets, and you guys competed for a time this season, but after the All-Star break, it just kind of seemed to fall apart. So talk to me about, you know, being in, with the Mets and making this jump to the Rangers and how it's been for you this year as a Ranger as well.
Well, I definitely thought I'd be playing in New York in October, but I thought it might be in the NLCS before the season started, obviously. But now, you know, it's in the ALCS over in the Bronx. But, you know, I had so much fun up there playing and you know, all the guys and you know, Jerry and Hojo and all them. But, you know, it just didn't work out. I mean, we had a great first half. We were right there, game back at the All-Star break, game and a half, and then all of a sudden, you know, it just didn't work out. And we could never recover from that 2-9 road trip to start the second half.
Right.
And, you know, but I appreciate them giving me the opportunity to come over here, obviously play in the postseason, you know, be able to contribute. And you know, I mean, you know, I went from that to you know, playing against CC in game one. So, you know, it's come a long way, but I'm excited for this opportunity. And, you know, it's doesn't get much better than this.
Well, one more on the Mets before we move on. And, you know, they're looking for a new general manager. They're looking for a new manager as well. What do you think needs to be done for Met fans out there listening? What do you think needs to be done for this team to be competitive next year?
Well, I think it's so tough in New York because they expect you to be so competitive every year, and they don't want to hear rebuilding. They don't want to hear this. And
not New York, that's for sure.
Exactly. And I don't think it's in a full-fledged rebuilding mode, but I also think you have to look at, you know, some of the younger guys, Tolley and those guys, and give them the opportunity to contribute. And, you know, in the next couple of years, there'll be some contracts that might run out, and then you can have an opportunity to go get some free agents and go get some guys that can fit in with your club. But, you know, it's going to help having Jason back for the full year. Obviously, you know, he didn't do what he wanted to do, but at the same time, you know, it's tough coming in there that first year. And, you know, I think you'll see him have a great season. Obviously, you know, if you can get some guys to be healthy around David and let him, you know, have the big seasons he always has, then I think they'll be fine. I don't think they're that far off. I just think, like anything, some stuff happened in the second half this year that we just really couldn't recover from.
Who impressed you the most out of the youngsters that got a shot while you were there?
Well, my guy's Tolley. I love Josh. I think, you know, I think he puts up such a great at-bat. You know, he's not going to be this guy that's going to hit 20 home runs, but I'll tell you what, man, he'll get up there and he's going to drive the ball the other way. He's going to you know, work the count. He ain't striking out much. And, you know, I think he's come a long way calling games this year, and I think he's going to be a big part of that team.
Well, you faced Cliff Lee in the past as we move on to the ALCS here, and now he's your teammate. That has to be good news for you, huh?
Oh, it's great news. I tell you what, right now, he's something else, and especially come October, he's just locked in. And, you know, I said, really, if he pitches 9 innings, the other team might have one or two chances to score against him. And for the most part, he has shut them down when they've had that opportunity. And it's been fun. It's been impressive to watch. And, you know, I can only hope that, you know, for our sake, it keeps going.
Everybody likes to talk about the past. You know, the Yankees took the Rangers out in 96 and 98 and 99. But we're talking about stuff that happened over 11 years, 12 years ago. So people can't really focus on the past. This is a whole new Texas ball club. You can't bring that up. What do you guys have to do in order to beat the Yankees in this series?
Well, first of all, I think, you know, no one on our court really cares about the past.
Exactly.
I mean, if it was 2 years ago, it's one thing, but I was in middle school when that was going on, you know, so none of us really think about that. You know, I think more than anything is we know we have to come out and play good baseball. We swept them here about a month ago. You know we can play with them. We know we can compete. And, you know, I think the big thing is just to go out there, and we have to find a way to throw strikes. If you walk this team, they'll kill you. And, you know, if you sit there and let them get on base and do all that, that's why Cliff's had success against them, I feel like, is because he pounds the strike zone. He comes after them quick. And, you know, if you can do something like that, you know, it makes a world of difference. And I think, you know, for us, if our pitchers can throw strikes, you know, I think it'll keep us in games and giving us an opportunity to score.
Is it a disadvantage, Jeff, that Cliff can't go in game one and that he won game five?
Well, you know, it is and it's not. If we go to seven games, it's pretty nice knowing you have Cliff Lee throw in game seven. So, you know, you can say advantage just to, hey, do we have an advantage because we just played Tuesday night, we're coming off low momentum, they've had some time off, maybe a little. Do they have an advantage because they get to start CC game one? Maybe a little. But, you know, I think when it comes to this time, it's going to be, you know, you got to have three or four pitchers, you got to have a bullpen, you got to have a lineup. And I think both our teams are very similar with that, and I think it's going to be a great series.
Well, the lineup is ridiculous with the Rangers, let's be honest. I mean, there were a lot of Yankee fans. I don't know if you're on Twitter, if you do any of that, but you follow Yankee fans when you're on Twitter, and they're like, oh, I want to win the AL East, so we play the Rangers. Really?
Yeah.
Is that where you want to go?
Yeah. Well, you know, we feel confident, like we said, that we can match up with them. We know how many good players they got. We know the history and everything. But at the end of the day, you know, it comes down to playing baseball on a field. And for us, I'm hoping the sole fact that, you know, we played in a game five down there in Tampa, you know, in front of their home crowd, 41,000, and you know, they were fired up, and we were able to control ourselves, play good baseball, make the plays when we needed to, and hopefully that can kind of, you know, give us some give some of these guys some experience and give us some, you know, confidence if, you know, that when we do get to New York for 3, 4, 5, and, you know, we get into some tight situations, everybody can just relax and play.
Well, one more for me before I hand it off to my partner in crime here, Mr. Joe Auriemma, and that's the fact that you personally, going from the atmosphere with the Mets to this atmosphere with the Rangers where you win a game five and you're in there celebrating with ginger ale, what was that like to go, like, from both extremes, to go from the situation with the Mets to where you are right now in the ALCS against the Yankees?
Well, I can tell you this. One of the things that went through my mind, and I said it, I think, I don't know if it was on MLB TV or something, but I thanked Jeff and Omar and Jerry and those guys for giving me the opportunity to come over here and do this, because, you know, they didn't have to. They didn't have to, you know, let me go or do whatever. I could have finished the season there at that point. But, you know, I couldn't have asked for a better situation to come into. And, you know, a lot of people ask you, what you going to do next year? Or, you know, you going to be back there? And for me, you know what, I'm just going to enjoy the heck out of this and worry about next year when it comes. You know, this was such a crazy year from, you know, off to great start for our team to struggling, and then boom, all of a sudden within an hour you go from 12 games out to 10 games up. And, you know, it's weird how that happens, but it was cool to be able to come here, be accepted on the team, contribute, and then, of course, like I said, to be able to do what we did the other night and be looking forward to tomorrow night, that's pretty much all you can ask for.
Hey, Jeff, it's Joe Auriemma with Yes. How are you?
Good, man. How are you doing?
I'm good. Jeff, I got a couple questions for you. One is just, really, this is such a young team that you're on. You know, you have the likes of C.J. Wilson and Neftali Feliz and Elvis Andrus, but they're such top-quality players. This could really be a bunch. Even though it's this year, you know, you guys are going into the ALCS for the first time, this could be the first time of many for the years to come from this team.
Well, I think so, and I think Nolan and Chuck Greenberg and those guys, you know, they're going to put some money in this team. You know, they're going to try to sign Cliff. Obviously, keep them away from the Big Apple, you know. But they're going to do everything they can to keep this team competitive. You know, I said it's crazy. Yesterday on the off day, you know, I went to eat and went to the mall and stuff. And you walk around and you see Rangers hats and Claw shirts and all this stuff. And I said, you know, I've never been out here, but I can promise you from talking to other guys that, you know, come September, it's all Cowboys out here. And for once, everybody's so dang excited about the Rangers. And that's so much fun to be a part of.
Did you think that it was a little bit wild that basically every team that played at home lost in that series? To me, that's just crazy that the Rays lost at home and you guys lost at home.
Well, I said after we won, I told our owner, I said, let's call the Yanks and tell them they can have game one up in the Bronx, man, because we can't win at home. But, you know, I think we tried so hard to clinch in front of our home crowds. That the atmosphere was crazy here those 2 days. The fans were so fired up. And so hopefully we can come out tomorrow night and relax and play a little better. You know, you kind of pass the whole playoff the first couple games there, and it's a new series, and hopefully, you know, we can come out, relax. And I said that's for us with so many young guys, with so inexperienced in the playoffs, that's the biggest thing. You know, in game one down in Tampa, you know, we put those couple runs on early. We found a way to relax our team, and to me, the difference with the postseason regular season is trying to get into a mode where you feel like it's a regular season game. And the faster you can do that, the better your team is.
All right, just a couple more here, Jeff. Jeff, I have to ask you about Nolan Ryan. Everybody talks about the way that, you know, Texas kind of treats their pitchers, no pitch count. It's kind of that old school mentality. What has impressed you most about how Nolan and everybody else in that organization runs the organization?
Well, I mean, excuse my language, but the fact is he's a badass at the end of the day. And, you know, he is something else. I mean, he was – they showed him on TV during our game five. I saw highlights where he's biting his nails and there. I mean, he wants to win so bad, and he's bought a mentality in here.
Mm-hmm.
I think this organization that, you know, we should be good. We have good players. We have good coaches. We have good pitching. Let's take this thing and go for it. And he's fired up a bunch of people around here, and you know, you can feel it around the area. You know, everybody loves it, and you know, and we love it. Before the games, they show highlights of him, you know, with the brawl and striking people out, and it gets everybody jacked up.
Yeah, he still gets – every time I see him punching Robin Ventura, giving him the noogie in the head, that still gets me going.
It's awesome, isn't it?
Now, Jeff, personally, what do you want to accomplish in this series and beyond for the Texas Rangers?
Just be able to contribute. You know, they brought me in here to hit left-handed pitching. I know, you know, between CeCe and Pettit, you got two guys that just know how to pitch. They know what to do. But the good news for me is I've faced CeCe, you know, twice this year. I've faced them interleague all these other years. I've faced Pettit. Actually, Pettit was my first postseason at bat back in 05 when I was with the Braves, when he was with the Astros. I faced him. So I've faced him many a times. I know what they do. You know, and so that's going to be the thing for me that's comfortable, is just having faced these guys before. You know, when I was down in Tampa, I'd never faced Bryce before. So that was a little bit of adjustment. But with these guys, you know what they're going to do. Hopefully I can find a way to relax myself and help this team move on to the next round. And that's what I'm looking forward to trying to do.
Jeff, are you a hockey fan?
That's my hockey playoff beard I got going right
see,
now.
See, that's where I was going.
Come on, man. I go to a bunch of Thrasher games in Atlanta, even though we're not very good. But, you know, my dad grew up in Massachusetts, a huge hockey fan. So every time playoffs come or close, I try to go the playoff hockey beard. And my wife hates it, but it's getting nice and long.
You wear it well, my friend.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
That's Jeff Francoeur of the Texas Rangers. We'll be back with more Off the Wall right after this.
Want to see what everyone's talking about? Check out the 2-time Emmy Award-winning video content at yesnetwork.com. It's the best in Yankees web shows, podcasts, and features. Only at yesnetwork.com.
Opulence. I has it. I like the best. This one. But I also like savings the money.
So when yesnetwork.com tells me I could listen to Off the Wall podcast for free on iTunes,
I jump in it.
It's Off the Wall on yesnetwork.com. Here's more from Chris Sheeran.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Off the Wall podcast here on yesnetwork.com. Once again, we want to thank Jeff Francoeur for joining us in our first segment. So let's start right there, Joey. Let's start with the ALCS between the Rangers and Yankees. We talked about it with Jeff about, you know, is it a disadvantage that Cliff Lee isn't going to be able to start game one? He said yes and no. He's still going to get to pitch two games in this series, and he did beat the Yankees. Well, if it goes seven, that
right.
is. And he did beat, let's not forget, he beat the Yankees. The two losses the Yankees had in the World Series last year were against Cliff Lee. Even though they could have won game five, Phil Koch came out of the bullpen, gave up a couple of solo shots. Love Kochy, but that was the difference in that game. If those shots don't happen, the Yankees tie that game, and who knows what happens if it goes into extras. I think this is a great matchup. I think Francoeur hit the nail right on the head when he said the lineups and the pitching staffs kind of balance each other out in mm-hmm. this series.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a great series. I think it's actually a better seven-game series than it would have been a five-game series. I think the Yanks would have been in big trouble if they had played the Rangers in
the
first round.
As the Rays were. I don't see how, you know, the Rays fans or the Rays as a team would want to play the Texas Rangers in the first round. Their lineup is head and shoulders above what the Rays bring to the plate. As far as offense is concerned. And on the pitching side, you know, behind David Price, Everybody was talking about, you know, Andy Pettitte and Phil Hughes being question marks. How about Big Game James
and
Matt Garza?
Yeah.
I mean, Garza won. He won his game in Texas, and they got another big start out of Wade Davis mm-hmm. as well. And it went back to Price. Price ends up losing two. I mean, John Sterling says it all the time. You can't predict baseball. And Price pitched the year of his life this year. It was his coming out party. He just couldn't get it done in the postseason. And that's what happens sometimes. And now you have set up the Yankees and Rangers starting in Arlington, games 1 and 2 there, and then 3, 4, and 5 at Yankee Stadium, 5 if necessary, 6 and 7 back in Arlington if necessary as well.
I'll tell you this. I like here's some things that I like from the Yankees perspective. Mm-hmm. I like the fact that, you know, the series did go 5 and now Cliff Lee has to go in game 3 instead of game 1. Because to me, you put Lee against Sabathia and it's a crapshoot. It could be a Lee win or a Sabathia win, and then at that point the Yankees lose their best starter.
Right.
In my opinion.
Right.
So now you have Sabathia against Wilson, and the Yankees have proven that they've done well against Wilson in the past. He's had 3 starts against him this year. He is 0-1, high ERA. Look, I think that when it comes down to it, you don't lose Sabathia in the series for 2, possibly 3 starts. I know they split up with Hughes. This is a very righty-heavy lineup in the Rangers, and you put Hughes in that Game 2 position.
He's pitched well in Texas in the past.
Absolutely, and I like that they split it up. And you have a marquee matchup in Pettit versus Cliff Lee in Game 3.
You had to do that.
And a possible, if it goes to a Game 7, you have Cliff Lee versus Andy Pettit, and who would you want on the mound other than Andy Pettit?
Let me throw this out at you right here, right now. Cliff Lee is definitely on his way to a Hall of Fame career. Definitely. Let me ask you this. Andy Pettit right now, everybody says he's not a Hall of Famer.
I think he's borderline, yeah.
Borderline.
Yeah.
If Andy Pettit goes out and outduels Cliff Lee in Game 3 and has to outduel him again and does it in Game 7, regardless of what happens in the World Series, do those 2 wins, if he gets them, vault him from borderline to the Hall of Fame?
He'll be at that point the only 20-game winner in postseason history. I know there's extra rounds added here. I know he's had opportunities because he is on the Yankees.
Say he has another big start in the World Series, too, and the Yankees win the 28th
World Championship.
When
it's all said and done, he'll have, 250 wins. He vaults into a 6th World Championship, or 240-something wins, vaults into another championship. Yeah, I have made the case that I think Andy Pettit is a legitimate Hall of Fame candidate.
You can't see, in my opinion, you can't hold it against guys. Like, I know we've had this discussion before with Mattingly, and I know we only had 5 to 6 good, solid years, and that doesn't really constitute a Hall of Fame career. I get that. Mm-hmm. To me, Mattingly's borderline. And everybody always brings up, well, he never went to the playoffs, never was a champ. Well, if you can't get on Mattingly for not having a championship, you can't get on Pettit for all the extra rounds in the postseason.
No, I agree with that.
That comes into play, and that to me says, hey, this guy's a big-time pitcher. Last year, every game when the Yankees needed to close out, who did it? The aging Andy Pettit. If he does it again this year, I'm telling you right now, he is in the Hall of Fame in my book.
Okay, well, I mean, I can see where you're coming from, and really they need him to be a Hall of Fame-type pitcher in this series, because they cannot rely. They need him and Hughes to pitch the way they pitched in the first round, because bottom line is you have a young pitching staff. The Yankees, past Cliff Lee, have, hit those other pitchers. They have. However, you never know when one of these kids is going to come up big. It's a tricky situation, and they need Pettit to be Pettit, and they need Hughes.
Well, the Yankees definitely, Joe, they need to split at least the first 2 games, because you can't go down 0-2 facing a Cliff Lee. That is something that you might not be able to dig out of. And that's the Yankees and the Rangers in a nutshell right now as we lead up to Game 1. Let's go to the NLCS really quick. What a pitching matchup this weekend between Roy Halladay and Tim Lincecum in Game 1 with the Giants and Phillies.
Really, it is a battle of superior aces. I mean, these guys are the best of the best. Tim Lincecum just continues to impress. The Freak had a 14-strikeout game in the first round, a one-hitter complete game. And Roy Halladay, as we know, threw the no-hitter, the second one in postseason history. These guys are on the top of their game right now, and they're starting this series in Philadelphia. So it's going to be very interesting because both of these teams match up. I would say these are the two best teams in the National League. They both deserve to be there. They both, proved throughout the season that, you know, even though the Giants, you know, had a detour and the Padres were in first for a long period of the season, they came down at the end, came down at the stretch, and their pitching proved that they deserve to be in this position that they're in.
What it's going to come down to in this series, Joe, is whether the Giants are going to be able to score or not. And that's what they have to do because they obviously have the young guns and the pitching staff. They could hold that Phillies offense in check. They always say good pitching beats good hitting. In this case, the Giants really don't have good hitting. The Phillies do. I think it's going to be, this series is going to come down to whatever ace makes the mistake. You know, does Halladay leave one of those sliders over the plate? Does he leave a fastball, a tailing fastball that tails back and gets most of the plate and one of the Giants destroys it and leads to two runs? Two runs might win you a game. Hell, one run might win you a game.
And the funny thing is that the Philadelphia Phillies have an American League lineup. There really isn't an easy out from 1-9. They're
National League imposters.
Yeah, they really are. And you have three ace pitchers, an unbelievable lineup, and a shoddy bullpen. That's where really the Giants can make hay. They need guys like, you know, Buster Posey, you know, the big panda, you know, Pablo Sandoval, and they need Aubrey Huff. They need those guys who gave them just enough offense all year to come up big.
That's the key, just enough offense. Those three words are going to be very telling in this series between the Phillies and the Giants. Okay, let's move on to football now.
Real quick, you want to make predictions? Because I'm right now. Let me just say this real quick.
Go ahead.
Since the start of last postseason, mm-hmm. how many series predictions have I gotten wrong with the Yankees?
None.
That's right. 3-0, 4-2, 4-2, 3-0. I've called them all, baby.
All right, well, let's hear it.
I want to hear
you. No. Let's hand off to the master.
Okay. Split the first two.
Okay.
2 of 3 in New York for the Yankees.
Okay.
And game 6 win. Cliff Lee will only see you once. That'll be once too many, once enough. The Yankees win this one in 6.
Okay, I think the same thing, Yankees in 6. Let's go to the Phillies and Giants.
Okay, the Phillies, I think they're just going to be too much for the Giants. I really, you know, I know everybody's saying that, you know, the Giants have a puncher's chance, and I think they do. I just think that Halladay and company are too much. Hamill still scares me. The bullpen still scares me. I think Philly's in 5.
I got to give the Giants at least 2. I got to give them at least 2. I think Sanchez and Lincecum will get wins in this series. But what I think it's going to come down to is their anemic offense, not being able to produce enough of that offense. And the Phillies are just loaded from top to bottom. I mean, you got Halladay he had an RBI, I think, single in that game in the series against the Reds in game 1 where he had the no-hitter. I mean, talk about adding insult to injury.
Injury, yeah.
You're not going to get any hits, and I'm driving in a run.
Yeah, no, it's the truth.
Take that and that. All right, now let's move on to football, where our picks, we'll start with those from last week.
Got to gloat, don't you?
Joe is 1-1. Well, if you're going to gloat about the baseball, I'm going to gloat about the football. Joe is 1-1. He took the Giants win, Vikings loss. So he drops to 6-4. I, on the other hand, took both New York teams and moved to 7-3.
Mm-hmm.
I lead by a full game.
Wow. But you know what you don't lead in right now?
What's that?
You don't lead in the Giants over-under competition that we have.
Well,
and let me tell you something. Our friend Kelsey O'Donnell.
Oh boy.
She's going to be there at the Meadowlands
no,
in January.
Won't. No, she won't.
When we are doing the Off the Wall podcast.
No, she won't.
And you're in a t-shirt and shorts in Giant weather.
That's fine. It's fine. The Super Bowl's going to be there in 2014. Got to get used to it. But here, the Giants, this is classic Giants, and I'm getting this on tape right now. Okay? They look unbelievable. The defense is playing out of their heads right now. It's like the Super Bowl year where they, you know, they gave up 80 points in the first 2 weeks, and then all of a sudden, it just clicked. and they went on that run. Can they do that again? Sure. And if Dallas loses to the Vikings this week, I mean, their season, it's not over, but 1-4 when you were making plans to play the Super Bowl in your home stadium this year. Jerry Jones, listen, the Cowboy fans out there, this ship is not going to be righted until Jerry Jones swallows his pride and gets a head coach, a headstrong head coach in there to clean that place up. Listen, Wade Phillips is not working. He's not working. And you could tell there's puppet strings attached to him. So until that happens, the Cowboys are not going to be fixed. This is coming from the same guy who picked the Niners to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, how's that one working out?
Oh, baby. 0-5. Way to go, Mike Singletary. Not doing a Super Bowl shuffle this year. Oh, boy. Can we put that Super Bowl shuffle music in right there?
Yeah, we can.
I'm not here. Start no trouble. I'm just here to do the Super Bowl shuffle. That was 1985. It's not going to be 2010, that's for sure. But anyway, the Giants this week, classic game. Detroit, who could very well be 2-3. They come in 1-4 that first week against the Bears. They should have won that. That rule has to be changed. So they could be 2-3. Sean Hill, who left the 49ers, by the way, they excommunicated.
I bet they wish
they had Sean Hill
right now.
That guy. And I read a quote of him, and, you know, he's pretty happy they're 0-5 right now. You mm-hmm. can't really blame the guy. Backing up the injured Stafford, Matthew Stafford, doing a tremendous job. They drilled the Rams 44-6. Hill had another good game.
They needed to, yeah.
They get off the schneid. They get their first win. So Giant fans thinking that Detroit's going to walk into the new Meadowlands Stadium and lay down, you're sorely mistaken. Now, Giants have been playing out of their minds on defense, as I said, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Kiwanuka, by the way, not going to be back. He is optimistic that he's not going to need surgery and maybe back this year,
mm-hmm.
but it's not going to be this week or next week or the week after that. He's got that bulging disc in his neck.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Levy, that's the way you say it. Hello.
Oh, boy.
YouTube that, by the way. Sorry, Steve. Steve's a great guy. Anyway, I think the Giants will not lose. But it would not shock me if they go out and lay an egg this week against the Lions. Because besides that Super Bowl season where they did click in and just start running the table, every other year, the Giants, they're like Michael Corleone in Godfather 3, which was awful. Watchable, but awful.
It's a terrible film.
Yeah. Every time...
Immobilare.
You think they're out.
They pull you back
in. They pull you back in. I said it all the time. I am hoping that I'm wrong. And I always say it, my love is tough love with the Giants. I hope that I'm wrong. I do. I hope I'm out there and Kelsey O'Donnell gets to see me in shorts when it's 10 degrees outside. And I get to be George Costanza. I was in the pool! Anyway, I think the Giants do win against the Lions. Joe, I'm picking the Giants, but like I said, it would not shock me if they went out there and laid an egg. The Jets, on the other hand, and I'll let you do both teams after this.
Mm-hmm.
The Jets, on the other hand, had a scare against Brett Favre and the Vikings, but as we've seen in a big spot the past couple seasons, Brett Favre, when he could have that historic comeback drive, there was another pick. Dwight Lowry is dancing in the end zone, and the Jets win the game 29-20. So, Minnesota 1-3, Dallas 1-3, they play in Minnesota this week. Whoever loses that game, I think, done.
Done.
Over history. Goodbye. Brett, if it's you, hang him up and let Tavares Jackson play. Please, stop grabbing your elbow. Let this kid play football. They're working on our building. If you hear some knocking, it's not us. They're working on the roof, and there's nothing we can do about it. The Jets are in Denver this week. I don't see any let-up in this team. I really don't. And Rex Ryan might be a loudmouth, but he's got the players to back it up. And Sanchez, who I thought, and I'll admit it, you know, you can go back and listen to these off-the-wall podcasts before the season started. I thought they were banking a lot on this kid at quarterback. I really did. As a second-year quarterback, I thought they had the defense. I didn't think that was the question. I thought they had the offensive line. I didn't think that was the question. I thought LT, and I took him in my fantasy league, would have a turnaround season. okay? I thought they were covered everywhere. But if you don't have the quarterback leading that team, you've got nothing. You've got nothing. And opening night against the Ravens, I thought I was right. But after Schottenheimer has opened this up a little bit for Sanchez, he's shown that he could play ball at this level. Sanchez can play on Sunday. That was the deciding factor for me with this Jets team. And I don't want to jinx anything, but I think they're the best team in football right now. You think it's the Colts? You think it's the Saints? The two teams that were in the Super Bowl last year? Not me. The Jets are head and shoulders above everybody. And until someone steps up and proves me wrong, maybe the Broncos in the thin air are mile high, but I doubt it. Highly. I think the Jets go in there and handle business. If they stay healthy, they'll be in Dallas this year. I'm taking the Jets.
All right, well, I'm going to stay with the Jets then. I can say it very quickly. The Jets right now are, if not the best team in football, they are right there with, you know, the top-tier teams. I know they're going to Denver. They're a three-point favorite going into Denver. I got to be honest with you, the Jets win this game. They're on a roll right now, and this, you know, Rex Ryan has them buying into everything, and they're playing great defense, and they're playing great offense, and you know they're just clicking on all cylinders right now. Jets beat the Broncos, so I'm agreeing with you on that one. This could be a letdown game for the Giants. I agree. However, I love the way that they're pressuring the quarterback right now. I love the way that the Giants are winning these games. I thought that the game in Texas was just dominant. The game in Houston was dominant. The Giants going, you know, playing at home against Detroit. You look at the rest of the NFC East and the rest of the NFC. Tom Coughlin has this team really going on all cylinders right now, Chris. He knows that in their division, Dallas is 1-3. He knows that Washington's got its own issues, and they're 3-2. Philadelphia's 3-2. But, you know, you look at the rest of the NFC, Chris. Atlanta's on top in the South at 4-1, and they're a very beatable team. Tampa Bay is 3-1. Come on. New Orleans is 3-2. Chicago is 4-1. Not Green Bay that we thought was going to be the 4-1 team. Green Bay's 3-2. Minnesota's 1-3. Arizona, they're 3-2 by the skin of their behind because they stink.
Yeah, they stink.
This is a very winnable NFC this season. And Tom Coughlin has to be drilling that into the heads of his players right now.
They could,
you continue
they
to
could
play.
Be the one seed.
You can be the one that ascends to the top of this NFC. And you know what? I don't think they're going to put up a snicker. I think they're going to win. So I'm going New York, New York.
All right. Both of us. So if we both win, I'll still be in first.
I got to keep up with you. I can't be making stupid picks here.
Well, you don't make stupid picks. You're very, you think things out, very well thought.
I'm just saying, I could have easily said, let me go Denver, just so I could try to pick up that game in the case that Denver wins. But I can't do that. The Super Bowl shuffle, everybody.
I know the words to this, by the way.
Well, we'll put it into the show.
Shuffling crew, shuffling on down, doing it for you. We're so bad, you know we're good. Blowing your minds like you knew we would. You know we're just strutting for fun, strutting ourselves for everyone. We're not here to start no trouble. We're just here to do the Super Bowl shuffle. Well, they call me
sweetness. And I like to dance. Running the ball is like making romance. We had to go to training camp to give Chicago a Super Bowl champ. Now we're not doing this because
this
we're
awful.
Greedy. The Bears are doing
I
it
forgot
to
how bad
feed
this
the
was.
Needy. We didn't come here looking for trouble. We just come here to do the Super Bowl shuffle. I came home from school.
Who came up with these lyrics? DJ Jazzy Jeff?
Oh God, that Will Smith on Family Guy when he's in the booth doing the
hoo hoo ha! I come over to clean the room. Hoo hoo ha!
Oh God, I wonder if these guys look back on this. There he is, Samurai Mike.
All right.
Anyway, I used to come home from school. I know it's sad. I 86. What was I? 13. I was 8th grade.
I had this on VHS. I would come home from school, and the first thing I'd do when I came home from school was watch this about 10 times because I loved it. Now I look back at it, and it's like watching the old Batman series.
Oh, my God.
From the 60s with Mayor Adam West.
This is so awful. And what's more awful is that you know the words.
Yes. It's pretty all awful. Of them. I could have kept going.
Didn't the Giants have a song, too? Did they do Walk Like an Egyptian?
No, I don't know. I know they had something that was played on New York radio when they went to Super Bowl 21. Because the Giants are number one, went to Pasadena to have some fun and win Super Bowl 21.
Oh, my God.
The Giants are number
one. All right. Well.
I don't know if anybody noticed last night, but we had a special guest celebrity commercial.
Opulence.
Hey, is it? All right. For Joe Oriam, I'm Chris Sheer, and we'll see you next week. Sorry we had a lot of fun, but you know what? That's what we do here on the Off the Wall podcast. See you next week. Hopefully we're talking about the Yankees heading to the World Series. Later.
We are the Bears, the shuffling crew. Shuffling on down, do it for you. We're so bad, we know we're good. Blowing your mind like we knew we would. You know we're just strutting for fun. Strutting our stuff for everyone. We're not here to start no trouble. We're just here to do the Super Bowl show.
Well, they call me Sweetness, and I like to dance. Running the ball is like making more mans. We had the goal since training camp to give Chicago a Super Bowl champ. And we're not doing this because we're greedy. The Bears are doing it to feed the needy. We didn't come here to look for trouble. We just come here to do the Super Bowl show.
This is Speedy Willie, and I'm world class. I like running, but I love to get the pass. I practice all day and dance all night. I gotta get ready for the Sunday fight. Now, I'm as smooth as a chocolate swirl. I dance a little funky, so watch me, girl. There's no one here that doesn't like me. My Super Bowl Shuffle will set you free.
I'm Samurai Mike, I stop 'em cold. Part of the defense, big and bold. I've been jamming for quite a while, doing what's right and setting the style. Give me a chance, I'll rock you good. Nobody messing in my neighborhood. I didn't come here looking for trouble. I just came to do the Super Bowl.